evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, September 10, 2020. A senior member of the SPLM-IO, loyal to Riek Machar, joins President Salva Kiir's camp.
Riek Machar is no longer consulting his followers. He's not taking interest of his followers, and he's eating alone.
And an opposition leader says rule of law is a foreign language in South Sudan.
Someone who has power in the country is the one who is presumed to be right. If you are a normal civilian, it is very hard for you to get your right, like for women and people who come from minority groups.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A senior member of a faction of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, SPLM-IO, loyal to Riek Machar, has defected to President Salva Kiir's camp. Wesley Natana says he and other 100 SPLM-IO officers from Mundri in Western Equatoria State have joined President Salva Kiir because of lack of clear agenda for reforms in SPLM-IO. He says Machar has abandoned SPLM-IO troops at various cantonment sites across South Sudan. He accused Machar of turning SPLM-IO into what he calls, quote, family business.
Yes, that is right. On the 4th of September, my group and I have decided to leave SPLM-IO. We have decided to participate fully in the peace-building process because we don't see difference between SPLM-IO and the government. Under the leadership of Dr. Riek, we are not getting our rights. So we have now moved to President Salva Kiir. He has agreed to give us all our rights.
What are these rights that you did not get from SPLM-IO? Could you explain?
One, we want the reforms in all institutions of South Sudan. But our chairman, the commander-in-chief, Dr. Riek Machar, decided to form a family government. He himself being the first vice president, his wife becoming minister of defense, the mother-in-law becoming minister of health, and his son-in-law becoming minister of petroleum, defeat the purpose of reform. It's a mockery.
Wesley Natana, I also spoke with you during the heights of the conflict in 2012-2013. You were blaming President Salva Kiir for not implementing the necessary reforms in the country. Now you are blaming Riek Machar for not implementing reform.
If you remember my interview with you, it was about the behavior of the former governor of Ahmadi State, the all the bad things he's doing to my people. It was about that. And I was appealing to President Salva for intervention. I didn't blame him. I was blaming the former governor of Ahmadi for causing insecurity and a lot of suffering for my people. That was my interview with you last time. So there is no contradiction at all.
But most of you who joined the SPLM joined on the platform of grievances.
No, as the people of Mundri, we went to SPLM for a number of reasons. And now, agreement has been signed. We have agreed to implement the peace agreement the way it is. So you can't implement the peace agreement by forming a family government. That is what pains me most.
Is it all about positions that people are now throwing their hands in the air? Because you are saying that Dr. Riek Machar has formed a family government. Is it all about positions that you people take up arms?
It's not all about positions, John. It's about reforms in the country. And we don't see it coming from Dr. Riek Machar.
Are you seeing it coming from the government?
No, you can monitor the implementation of the peace agreement. Though it is going slowly, but you can see some activities happening in line with the agreement. And secondly, you have to remember, you can't remain in opposition and without nothing to oppose. We have signed the agreement, so there is nobody in opposition. We are all in the government. Now it is how do we participate in the reform process of South Sudan. And it has become a family making decisions in the party.
So how are you totally left out? I mean, you are part of SPLM-IO that went to the bush to bring reform to the country, and now you are in the country. Both President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar are implementing the agreement, and you're jumping out of Riek Machar's camp, pointing fingers at him.
Riek Machar is no longer consulting his followers. He's not taking interest of his followers. And he's eating alone, and while his followers are suffering, the forces at the cantonment site, he's not taking care of them. Our remaining forces at the cantonment site have no food, and he's not making any effort to send them food. So why should we waste time with him when our boys are not getting their rice?
Correct me if I'm wrong. You are saying that Riek Machar is eating alone. What is he eating?
Only the money which is there is supposed to be used for taking care of the forces, first of all, for security sector reform. And there is nothing he's doing in that area. Now look at the governance. He's in charge of a governance system. The reforms in the governance system must start with his own cabinet. How do you form a family government, family cabinet, and you are in charge of governance that talks about reform? The qualifications of his candidates, the relationship of him and his candidates that are in the cabinet are not to standard and are all based on family relationships.
My understanding here is that you are frustrated because you did not get any position.
That is not true. There is already a position proposed for me, but I am disappointed with him because of the rights of my forces. They are being demoted, they are suffering, and they are no food. Others are dying in the training and cantonment fight. And we have talked to him several times about these issues.
That's Wesley Natana, former SPLM-IO representative to Tanzania. He spoke with me from Juba on Wednesday. Still on politics, some South Sudanese opposition politicians say the transitional government of national unity should enforce the rule of law in South Sudan. A member of the Popular Congress Party says strict adherence to the rule of law will stop the vicious cycle of intercommunal violence across South Sudan, adding that the SPLM-led government's slogan, "One people, one nation," has no meaning in a country where some people are above the law. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Abdallah Nial Deng Nial, former chairman of the Popular Congress Party, urges the transitional government to empower institutions that are responsible for enforcing the law in order to end intercommunal attacks.
We need a law to be in place so that citizens can find their rights through the rule of law. And if they are on the wrong, the law tells them that. We need South Sudan to go forward with the rule of law and not through revenge. That is not an easy thing. If we are going to live in this country through revenge, that means we are back in the bush.
Four people were killed and three others wounded in last weekend's revenge attack in Rumbek Central County of Lagos State. On Monday, two other people were killed in a suspected revenge attack outside Rumbek Town. Nyana Chek Nial, a lawmaker in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly and a former member of the National Congress Party, says in South Sudan, the law always rules in favor of the person in power, not on the basis of right and wrong.
Someone who has power in the country is the one who is presumed to be right. If you are a normal civilian, it is very hard for you to get your right. Like for women and people who come from minority groups. These people are finding it hard to live in this country. And this is not correct. It is going to take our country in the wrong direction.
A man accused of killing a university lecturer in January escaped last month from a highly protected military detention facility in Gyada. The detention facility guards did not explain how the suspect escaped. Nyana Chek says many court cases and complaints filed at police stations end up in the trash in the offices of higher law enforcement officials.
The Criminal Investigation Directorate, the National Internal Security, and the National Security on Economics are all not working. They write reports to their bosses, but their bosses throw those reports in sideboards. If they are not ready to take action, the person who forwards the report will do nothing.
David Edao of the National Movement for Change says South Sudan prisons and police detention facilities are full of innocent citizens. A perfect example, he says, is the recent incident in the Shirkat neighborhood of Juba, where civilians clashed with the bodyguards of a military officer who later died from his injuries.
We have very innocent young men who are just collected on the roadside. They're now languishing in jail, and no one is talking about it. The government is not talking about it. They're talking about the reports. you know, investigations. And when investigation came out, it is simply one-sided report.
Dow is calling on the government to reform its institutions and ensure they work effectively so that ordinary citizens will trust the government again.
And this is what we are trying to push for as oppositions, to say that let there be change, not change of who is doing what, but change of heart, change of style of doing things. If there is other change in terms of who sits where in the government, it will come through elections, but it's not through the barrel of gun.
Dow says so long as people do not trust that the rule of law will be followed, revenge attacks will continue. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Some families in Warap State are appealing to the National Police Service to arrest the former governor of the defunct Gogrial State, Victor Atem Atem, for allegedly carrying out extrajudicial killings. The Director of Legal Affairs in Warap State confirmed that a warrant of arrest has been issued against the former governor after complainants accused him of ordering execution of 35 individuals, including their relatives, by firing squad 3 years ago. South Sudan Police spokesman Major General Daniel Justin says there is a warrant of arrest for Atem. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Speaking by phone from Juba, complainant Thiep Ding says two of his children and three relatives were executed by firing a squad 3 years ago in Gogrial on orders from former governor Atem.
They were arrested and taken to Mayom, an island where they were executed. They did not tell us the reasons for the execution. People were prevented from going to that island, and some days later we found their bodies eaten by birds. If someone has committed a crime, I think the relatives are supposed to be informed and the person is taken to court.
Ding says he traveled to Juba to appeal to national government to arrest and prosecute Atem.
We want him arrested, but we were told that there is someone by the name Majak Akej, who is the IGP of police, who has refused to order his arrest. Another person called Paul Mayom Akej, who is a minister, and another person called Lualwek are the ones protecting him. This is the reason why we opted to speak to the media, because we want to understand if killing people without being taken to court is a new law or not.
Ding says he and other complainants want justice for their relatives. Complainant Akut Akut says he wants justice for his son and two relatives who were killed by Atem's bodyguards.
What I am following now is the case of my son called Agoth, my sister's son called Logar Malek, and my aunt's son called Maketh Mou, who we are killed. These two gentlemen were sleeping in one house and Agoth was sleeping in the other house with his wife. Their houses were surrounded by the soldiers and they were arrested at around 7 o'clock. They were arrested and taken to the island where they were killed. I don't know the reason why they were killed.
South Sudan in Focus has seen a warrant dated August 19th issued by Warap's state public prosecutor against Atem and two others. Benedict Bitai heads Warap's Legal Administration Office.
The minister have sent a letter that let us transfer the daily case to Juba to him. Let him go and make an order about it.
National Police spokesperson Brigadier General Daniel Justin says police will implement the warrant after receiving instructions from the Minister of Justice.
This case was raised to the Attorney General, and then they issue the warrant of arrest, and then the papers are sent to the Minister of Justice. So we, the police, we don't have any comments about this unless the Minister of Justice.
Justice Madul Arol is South Sudan's Justice Minister.
That's a matter in progress, and we cannot comment on it just publicly.
Activist Denga Kons is with the Dolwood organization, a citizen rights organization. He says people suspected of perpetrating intercommunal violence were executed after President Salva Kiir declared a 3-month state of emergency in Gogrial State and other areas of unrest in July 2017.
Within the jurisdictions or the mandate of a state of emergency, we could not find a court in the book of law that was giving him powers of fire spreading. If you caught somebody have stolen a cow or somebody has stolen a goat, you have to bring a person to court. Then you having him killed through your orders. So we are asking for the justice.
Akon is urging Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and other human rights groups to demand justice for the victims of extrajudicial killings in South Sudan. Attempts to reach Atim for comments were unsuccessful as his phones were switched off. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some South Sudanese nationals are missing in Khartoum. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you reward yourself?
I'll go and buy myself maybe a pair of shoes I always desire to get. I'll go and have a meal I always desire to get, or anything. Depends on what I've achieved.
By spoiling myself, I'm a girl. I go buy myself clothes, shoes, do my hair, my nails. Basic things that will make me look good and happy at the end of the day.
I cook a good meal. I sit down with a chill drink.
My work involves very hard work, so I get very tired. So I reward myself once every month. I do that by swimming and relaxing at the beach with my family.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees says 14 South Sudanese refugees are missing while one girl was drowned after floods destroyed their houses. The UNHCR spokesperson in Sudan says he believes the 14 South Sudanese refugees were washed away by floods and their whereabouts remain unknown. The refugee agency says nearly 125,000 refugees and internally displaced persons have been affected by floods in Sudan. UNHCR says families affected by floods need humanitarian assistance, including shelter and medicine.
Roland Schoenbauer, the UNHCR spokesperson in Sudan, says the 14 missing South Sudanese were likely swept away in the floods. Their whereabouts remain unknown. Speaking exclusively to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum last night, Schwamber said a boat mission reached an area on September 4th at the Nile's devastated banks some 15 kilometers outside the capital, where South Sudanese refugees live alongside their Sudanese neighbors. He says a joint team from UNHCR members and the Sudanese Civil Defense Forces continue to search for survivors.
Entire families have disappeared. A total of 14 South Sudanese refugees were not there in the morning after the floods, the flash floods, had rushed through their villages. So it's really heartbreaking what people are going through in Sudan at the moment.
Schwembor says, as heavy rains and floods destroyed many houses, latrines were also destroyed. He says people have no choice but to defecate out in the open. An 18-month-old South Sudanese refugee girl drowned when the latrines collapsed, according to Schwember.
This was so shocking for us that UNHCR colleagues rushed to the scene to condole the parents. South Sudanese refugees that live in slums outside of Khartoum, where the services have been weak before the disaster and now are even more stretched. So it's really important to restore the water points and the wash facilities, the toilets and the latrines.
Schoenbauer says the flooding also puts thousands of families at risk of contracting COVID-19. He says UNHCR is including jerrycans and soap in non-food item kits, including in the capital Khartoum, where access to clean water and hand washing facilities were problematic even before the floods.
Everywhere where there is a water point destroyed or a latrine has collapsed, hand washing will not be the same as before. And in addition, people that lost their houses obviously seek shelter in the houses of others with the heavy rains still threatening. So then there is physical distancing becoming impossible.
John Bauer says UNHCR is working with Sudan's Humanitarian Aid Commission to distribute non-food items to some 170,000 men, women and children this month, including internally displaced persons. He says flood survivors in 12 states, including White Nile State, and Kordofan and Darfur states will be receiving emergency relief items.
And now we are in the phase of distributing our aid material, our relief material, our plastic sheeting. And we are also glad that finally we got 200 boxes of medical supplies, including gloves and drugs that were initially planned for a COVID response, but now come in handy because with the destroyed water points, hygiene levels are plummeting.
John Bauer is calling on aid agencies, donors, and development agencies to work together to ensure more relief aid is delivered to the affected areas. The Sudanese transitional government has declared a 3-month state of emergency in Sudan. About 100 people have been killed in the floods, and thousands have lost their homes. Rains have been particularly heavy in North Darfur, leaving an estimated 35,000 IDPs, local residents and refugees in urgent need of assistance. Michael Atid prepared this report in Khartoum. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
From Sudan, we move to Ethiopia, where polls opened in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region on Wednesday in defiance of federal government. The ballots is a direct challenge to Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, who postponed general elections earlier this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Tigray Independence Party, which came into existence after Ahmed's 2018 elections, is pushing to break away from Ethiopia, as Simon Marx reports from Addis Ababa.
The regional vote has rattled the government of Prime Minister Abiy as he attempts to transition the country into a new era of greater openness. The Tigray region, which led a multi-party government coalition for 27 years prior to Abiy coming to power, staunchly opposed the government's decision in March to postpone the national election because of the coronavirus. It has also called any attempt to prevent its regional vote from going ahead a declaration of war. But critics of the Tigray region's push for elections say the country's former elite are simply using the vote to further their own interests in national politics and vent frustration they are no longer in power. Asnaka Kefale, an associate professor at the University of Addis Ababa, spoke to VOA via a messaging app.
The TPLF, some sections of Tigray nationalists are talking about de facto independence or independence. I don't think so. That would not be the case. Rather, they are creating such narratives to strengthen whatever claims they have in national politics. I don't think Tigray is going to secede from the rest of Ethiopia.
Asnaka also described the point of view that Ethiopia may fall apart as a caricature and said that people have forgotten that the very people organizing the vote in Tigray were the same people who led a deeply repressive regime that carried out human rights abuses on its own people.
It's a Marxist-Leninist organization. It didn't allow any free competition in the last 27 years. They are very much mad and angry because they were pushed aside.
The Tigray Independence Party, which was formed in June, says full secession from Ethiopia is its ultimate goal. Party leader Guillaume Behe told VOA that he fully expects his party to gain its first seats in the regional parliament. He also said he thinks the election will draw a response from the federal government, likely by pressuring people not to invest in Tigray or by fueling tensions between the Amhara and Tigray regions. Guillaume added that in the aftermath of the election, the federal government may fail to recognize the legitimacy of the Tigray regional government, a situation, he said, that could fuel calls for full independence.
In this situation, the government of Tigray may start to act as a kind of de facto state. Then, depending on what things come around after that, there is a possibility for Tigray to declare independence even unilaterally. We will be pushing for this agenda.
On the eve of the Tigray election, Prime Minister Abiy dubbed the poll a merry-go-round and said the failure of the region to participate in the upcoming national election would render the regional government totally illegitimate. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
The African continent is seeing both success and setback in its fight against coronavirus, with officials welcoming the opening of a network of genome sequencing laboratory, but also with news that the continent's only vaccine trials has been paused after one participant in the Oxford-based trial became ill. For VOA News, Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
First, the good news from Dr. Matsidiso Moeti, the World Health Organization's Regional Director for Africa. On Thursday, she announced that the WHO and the African Centers for Disease Control are opening 12 laboratories on the continent to work on COVID-19 genome sequencing and data analysis. She explained,
"This network will help us to track the evolution of the virus, to better develop vaccines and treatments tailored to African populations, and it will also help us to stay a step ahead of COVID-19.
And now, with that forward step, here's the step back. The continent's first vaccine trial, being held in South Africa, has been paused. British-Swedish pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca announced this week it had to halt large-scale global trials of its COVID-19 vaccine because a volunteer participant in Britain became ill after receiving the experimental drug. In South Africa, the University of the Witwatersrand is testing the same vaccine on about 2,000 volunteers. The director of the South Africa trial, Professor Shabir Madi, announced the decision late Wednesday.
Pausing vaccination to review safety is evidence of the application of sound clinical practice and demonstrates the rigor of the independent oversight process under which the trials have been conducted. Assessing the safety of the vaccine is the reason why studies such as these are essential in South Africa before there is widespread use of the vaccine.
Moeti added that the study's decision to pause actually demonstrates the scientific strategy against the virus is working as it should.
One of the purposes of a clinical trial is to identify exactly this possibility that there may be adverse effects, as they are called, in the use of a tool. And in this case, very correctly, when it was found that a volunteer who had been healthy developed an illness, the study has been halted for the moment and all paused. And I think what this should be regarded as something that you might expect in the course of a clinical trial. So it should not cause us to panic.
Moeti added that globally there are 8 other candidate vaccines in phase 3 of trials. The Sub-Saharan Africa region so far has reported just over 1 million confirmed COVID-19 cases, lower than in many parts of the world. The United States currently carries the world's heaviest burden of the virus, with more than 6.2 million cases, according to WHO data. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
That's our show for this Thursday. We are glad to welcome listeners of Good News Radio 89 FM in Rumbek Town to the family of VOA affiliate stations in South Sudan. We look forward to getting feedback from Rumbek about this program. We now leave you with the song Rumbek A Panda by David Pachong. We've been listening to David Pachong with the song Rumbek A Panda. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for taking your time to listen to this program. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're leaving your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.